Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poland Clark. With me is my co-host, Carrie Gail O'Regan.
Hello.
And we are finishing camp summer. Wait, you say this part better than me. What do you call it? Wistful Thinking goes to camp.
That's one way to phrase it, sure. Right. Or Camp Wistful.
I like that. All right, well, we're finishing off Camp Wistful Thinking with What a Hot American Summer.
The ultimate in summer camp movies.
The 2001 movie written and directed by David Wayne, also written by Michael Showalter, and just filled with members of the state and other hilarious people who are very famous now and were only a little bit famous then.
Or not at all famous. Bradley Cooper's film role.
Yeah. Kara, when's the last time you saw this before now?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, so like you haven't watched this recently?
But I feel, I don't know. I must have. I must have watched it after Netflix added the miniseries, like the prequel.
Yeah, that's the last time I watched it also.
Yeah, that must have been the most recent time. So I think that was, what, 2015?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I also watched in the run-up to watching the movie. And it's not as good, but it's like all of these people that I love, and they're clearly all having so much fun. And like, talk about a camp trope spreadsheet. Their spreadsheet must have been very extensive because they hit like all of them.
Well, here's how I know ours were correct, because this movie checks off almost every single box.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, good job, us. Yeah. We got it. We did it.
Well, the opening credit sequence to the prequel miniseries, I'm pretty sure does like check every single box. It's pretty, like, just the opening credit sequence alone is like, holy shit.
We'll get into the spreadsheet for real later. Initial thoughts about this movie?
What a joy. What a cultural treasure, a delight. I love it. It's so funny. I laughed out loud so many times. Every time I watch it, I'm like surprised by how hot everyone is.
It's true. Yes.
And every time I'm like, I don't know if I realized they were hot before. The last time was, what's his name?
More details. I can help if you give more details.
Oh, David Hyde Pierce. The last time I watched this, I was like, I am confusingly attracted to David Hyde Pierce right now, and I don't understand what's happening.
Not only is he attractive, but he is hilariously funny.
He's so funny. Yeah, I love him. He's great. He should be in more things. But this time I was like, Michael Showalter in 2001 Women's Jeans. Okay.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. Hot to me.
My revelation this time was Ken Marino in short shorts. His legs are beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had a great body. That camp hair, though.
Oh, the wigs. So many wigs.
So bad.
So many wigs, and like also just really not like when Katie does Janine Garofalo's hair. And it's all pushed to the side so far that it won't stay there.
I mean, I actually wear my hair like this all the time.
I wear my hair almost like that, but this is so exaggerated. Like, I just don't remember even noticing that ever before.
Because normally she has those two little front braids.
Yeah.
She's so good in this. Everyone is so good in this.
So everyone is so good at this. Is it even worth trying to name all the people who are in this?
I don't know. Maybe.
There's so many.
It's a lot of people.
It's so many people. Okay, let's start here. Some of them we've seen before in other Wistful movies. So Marguerite Moreau. It's hard to say. What's her name?
Marguerite Moreau.
Is that her name? Marguerite Moreau.
seen in The Mighty Ducks. She was the girl character in The Mighty Ducks before the figure skater character came on. Paul Rudd we've seen before in Clueless.
Obviously.
I think that's it. Is that it?
That can't possibly be true. I feel like Ken Marino has, if not shown up in things that we've watched, we talk about him, I feel like, all the time.
Yeah, that's probably true. But there's no reason why he, because, I mean, he's wasn't, I mean, none of these people were really around until, like, the mid-90s, and we mostly watched stuff from 96 and before.
Yeah.
It's fun to think that, like, this was Christopher Maloney. Like, he was already on SVU when he made this.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, what do you think people remember the most from this? Because this is, like, okay, so this movie, nobody liked it when it came out. Like, terrible reviews. Couldn't even get a distributor. It was only, like, I feel like once our generation got around to it, that it got this, like, cult following, like, you know, big enough that it was able to make two other pieces of media based on it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot here. It's hard to say what people might remember from this, because there's so many different weird pieces to it.
Okay, what do you remember? When someone's like, what, Hot American Summer, you're like, oh, yeah, this part.
I think I mostly remember the short shorts. Like, I think about what everyone's wearing. And I think about, like, specifically, sorry, I'm having a problem with names today. Michael Ian Black. He's wearing those, like, red shorts with the white lining.
His outfit, like, is perfect.
A white Clifton t-shirt, Clifton, New Jersey, that has, like, red and then, like, a red.
It's like a, it's a ringer tee.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, was this why American Apparel happened, like, in the mid-2000s?
No, it's just, like, this... I mean, he's ripping off exactly what American Apparel was ripping off.
Right, yeah, coming from the same place. But, so I think about the short shorts. I think about... you know, I just think, like, I think more than anything, I probably think about the talent show, or the preparations for the talent show and Amy Poehler, because she just is not in this enough, but she really is such a scene stealer when she is.
She shines. I mean, that, like, part of why this is so good, I think, is that everybody shines when the spotlight is on them.
Yeah.
And it's a huge ensemble. And, like, honestly, the movie is too long and does have too many plot points. But, like,
it's a real adventure.
Everybody runs with what they're doing, like, so hard and with such enthusiasm for the silliness of it that it's, like...
Yeah.
Like, there are parts where I am like, ooh, should I feel bad that they're, like, making fun of this... Like the gay sex scene, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, they're like, are they making fun of gay sex? But it's like, they're making fun of all sex. All the sex in this is silly.
Yeah.
Like, so silly. Everything. Well, so they're making fun, like, of everyone all the time.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I do remember about this, which is... Bradley Cooper and Michael Ian Black's relationship, which is so beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
And, like, the guys don't realize that Michael Ian Black, like, his friends don't realize that he's gay, and they're, like, plotting to get him laid. And what they don't realize is that he is getting laid. And then they, like, happen upon that, and they do say the word fag a few times. But other than that... Like, it's, everyone's, like, really cool with it, and they, like, buy them a chase lounge.
Well, they set it up for us to, like,
it's beautiful and wonderful.
They set it up for us to think that they're not okay mm-hmm. with it, which you do think for, like, 30 minutes, and then, you know, they get them mm-hmm. this wedding gift that's
yeah.
very sweet and celebratory. Yeah.
And they, so the in the mini series, which like I said is a prequel, it's the first day of camp. So the movie is takes place over the course of the last day of camp, and the mini series, which is several episodes long, is the whole first day of camp. And Bradley Cooper is in a relationship with Amy Poehler, and Amy Poehler, and you see this in the opening credit sequence of this movie. She's like keeps trying to make out with him, and he's like not that into it. But they like you see their relationship kind of blossom over the miniseries, which is like really sweet and wonderful. And they do this, like counselor talent show the first day of camp where they do this tag team act where they're both wearing this giant zoot suit. They're in the zoot suit together and they have to do it's hilarious and so good. And yeah, I think of that and I think that it's like actually like a really nice, especially for that time period, a nice portrayal of a gay couple that you wouldn't have seen in movies at that time, you
Yeah,
know?
like in the real camp movies you wouldn't have seen.
Right, because there so often there is so much overt homophobia in camp movies. It feels very deliberate that they kind of took it and turned it on its head. Especially in the mini series, which is more modern and I think has more of a like modern lens on that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean it was like 15 years later, right? I think
So
what.
you said that everyone hated this when it came out, but it came out like right before 9/11, didn't it? Like that summer before in 2001.
Mean, I guess if it came out in 2001, yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense that it wasn't like a
What does
didn't
9/11
quite
have to
take
do with
off.
people not liking this
No, I
movie?
just think that like, you know, not necessarily people going to see the movie in theaters, but like then once it's like available on video and stuff like that, like it took a lot longer for this to become a cult classic than I think it otherwise would have, if not for that like huge cultural like
No,
shift that
okay,
took
so I
place.
was trying to think of other. I think, but nobody liked it when
I mean,
it
that's also
came
possible
out.
because
Like, or
it's really fucking weird
it's,
and
and I
like
think enough.
this kind of humor is like native to us now, but like at that time was
Well, right, and so,
very
like,
bizarre.
this is made up of a lot of members of the state who were incredible. Have you watched The State? Have we talked about this before?
Yes, I love it.
It's so funny and it's so weird and just their story is really great too. It's like there's just a bunch of kids at NYU who started a sketch comedy troupe that got picked up by MTV, and MTV was like, here's all the money and the resources, make your show. And it didn't last super long, but every one of them has gone on to be really successful.
Yeah.
So, but it's like even their sketch show didn't, wasn't, I imagine it wasn't, this was like a little bit before my time. I didn't see it till I was in college, but I would imagine it wasn't like a critically acclaimed sketch show because it was canceled so fast. Like it just wasn't on for that long.
Yeah.
And I,
I think
it's like,
it's like not exactly for a super wide audience. Like it's a very specific kind of humor
well, and like, but
that
what this, like, so I was trying to, like, while I was watching it, think, like, okay, what else is like this that was really successful? Like, this type of humor. And, like, it really is just, like, sketch comedy humor. You know, it's really silly, and the characters are really elevated. Even though they're supposed to be people, they're not, like, characters, but they're, you know, they're so silly. They're not
But
real
they are,
people.
yeah, but the thing about this movie is that, like, I think the reason why it works so well is because, like, all of these characters and all of these scenarios feel so grounded in reality. Like, even for as absurd as they are and
Oh,
absurd
that's
as
because they
some of the
are.
premises are,
David
yeah.
Wayne went to summer camp, and that's
Yeah.
like what he wrote this about. Like it's,
Right.
you know. But so I was trying to compare it to other stuff, and I was thinking of like SNL characters that had movie spin-offs and whatever. And the thing that I think that this is most like that was successful is something like Anchorman. Like just so silly and over the top, but people were like really on board with that type of nonsense humor. But, and I can't remember what year Anchorman was, but it was definitely after this. So it's like, in some ways, this type of humor, it's like they were too early.
Yeah. Another Paul Rudd joint.
Yeah, that's right. But they also, like, they have tried to repeat this, like, kind of since then to varying degrees. Like, besides just the other Wet Hot American Summer stuff, like, they made... David Wayne and Michael Showalter, I feel like, made a bunch of movies together. I know they made They Came Together, which, like, just wasn't that great.
Which is lovely.
It's fine, but, like,
oh,
it's
I liked
not,
it.
But it's not... this, like, I don't remember anything that happened
no, of course
in it, you
not.
Know, like, it's
but
not,
it's
like,
yeah,
they
it's
were never able together, I feel like, to recreate the magic.
Well, this feels like lightning in a bottle, you know what I mean? Like, the
yeah,
the, these, like, very specific circumstances, the cast, the setting, you know, like, all of it comes together at a very specific time and on a very specific budget, you know, because, like, the more success that you have, like, budgets and stuff start to change and you don't quite have the freedom that you used to. And you have to kind of play the game and, like, make a mediocre rom-com if that's, you know, what is going to make
you
money.
I kind of disagree, but also agree that, like, the indiness of this is part of what makes it good and probably is part of how it got to be as funny as it is.
Yeah. For sure.
This movie, Joey and I have coined a term from this movie that we've used when talking to each other for like a solid 10 years, which I feel like we've introduced you to when you say you're Paul Rudding it. Have I not explained that to you?
I think you definitely have, and I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, if anyone's seen this movie, when I say that, they know what I mean. So there's a scene that, I mean, that's my favorite scene in the movie. There's a scene where Paul Rudd plays this, like, hotshot, like, kind of slutty dude who's, like, really dumb and really emotionally unintelligent, and he kills so many kids. I never, this is, so I watched the movie this afternoon again, and I never caught the part before where he's throwing kids out of the van because they witness him drowning other kids.
I don't think I did either.
Never noticed that before today. But so, he's just like a real idiot. There's a scene where he's eating alone in the cafeteria, and when he's done with his food, he just like throws his plate and his silver, literally like just like swats them aggressively off the table. And Janine Garofalo, who's the camp director, walks in as he does that, and she's like, "Andy, are you gonna clean that up?" And he's like, "I don't have time right now." And she stands there, you know, like a mom watching a 2-year-old clean up. And it takes him like an entire minute to pick up a plate and a fork. And he's just like dragging the whole time. Just going like, ugh. So,
like taking a break after each movement.
You know, when you're having a rough day.
And just standing there indignantly like, are you seriously going to make me keep doing this?
Yeah, when you're having a rough day, you're Paul Rudding it.
Yo, I've been Paul Rudding it for... at least a week.
I haven't had to Paul Rudd it in a while. I'm doing okay. Pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, I think like that, like the things that he says stand out the most to me because that scene and the part where he's like, "You taste like a burger. I don't like you anymore." He just, everything that comes out of his mouth is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely one of the things that I remember from this. Like, but weirdly, there's so much that every time I watch this, I'm like, I cannot believe I forget this every time I watch this.
I think...
like, I wrote down something in particular. Oh, the the drug montage when they go into town.
Oh my god.
Every time I forget, and every time it makes me laugh so hard.
I was watching it.
I've been to Waterville.
Oh, really?
That's like up... basically, like the lake that this summer camp is supposed to be on, not where they shot it, but where David Wayne like went to summer camp, is like on the cluster of lakes where Vin's family has a cabin. It's like right there.
I was watching this movie in my living room, and my roommate, who has not seen this before, was like kind of in and out, just like, coming in, laughing, leaving, going back to the kitchen, whatever. And she came in during that scene and she was like, "Huh, this really doesn't make sense if you like come and go, huh?" And I was like, no, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's not.
I love that they get back to camp and they're all fine, and then somebody is like, "Oh man, it's so great to get away from camp, even if it's just for an hour."
Yeah.
Like they've only been gone for an hour, but they managed to live through an entire life cycle of addiction while doing so.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, and when Paul Rudd says he's writing in his gurnal.
I missed that. Why did he
Oh
say
my God,
that?
stop! Okay, so the part where Elizabeth Banks is like really first flirting with him, he's like he's on lifeguard duty and he just let the kid take the boat out.
Okay.
Remember that part?
Yeah.
So like he's just sitting there alone on the dock and she comes over and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm writing in my
My
gurnal."
God, I didn't even notice.
And she's like, and she's like, "Don't you mean journal?" And he's like, "Whatever." It's so fun how committed everyone is to their own dumbness. Like she's the same way when she
Yeah.
has barbecue sauce all over her face, and
All
he's like,
over
and he's like, "That's kind of gross." And she's just like, "Whatever." Like,
She's actually not in this one as much because she's like supposed to just kind of be there as the hot girl. But in the prequel, her whole backstory is that she's there as like a gonzo music
oh,
journalist who
yeah.
is like doing this story on this guy that was like a counselor there a few years ago, and he had this band that was like amazing, and then he disappeared into the woods, and it's like a whole thing. But she has like a really interesting backstory, and it was funny. It's funny to watch this like with that in mind, because it definitely adds a lot to her character.
Also very underused, I think, is Joe Latrulio.
Always, what a gem.
I'm
What
glad,
a
I'm
gem.
glad he's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and is like a prominent character on that show because he is so funny.
He is. Something that I noticed this time when I was watching it is that they leave in so many shots of his stunt double.
Oh,
Like when
really?
he pulls up to camp on the motorcycle, it's his stunt double. Like that shot is his stunt double who gets off the motorcycle, and then it like cuts to someone else and then cuts back to him. And I like noticed a lot of those where they just like straight up left it in, and it's like clearly a different person. Like his hair is a different length. Like very clearly not Joe Latrulio. It's very funny.
That's funny. They also
Oh,
give.
he's in the prequel a lot more too. And his high school girlfriend comes, and we actually get to meet her. And she's real. She's a real person.
They give the kids some really great lines in this movie. I feel like that's like a little bit something that we've been missing maybe in the other movies is like exchange between the adults and the kids. Like it's either a movie about the adults or it's a movie about the kids. This is largely a movie about the adults, but they definitely like function with and around the kids way more than in any of the other movies, which is like adds a really incredible layer to it because the kids are funny. Like when they're all
They
on the
are.
raft and Camerino's character has like gone off to try to sleep with the girl, and Joe Latrullo is like, "Fine, I'll bring him back dead or alive." And there's a kid who's like, "No, alive. We want him alive." And the part where like the kids call out the baseball trope is very funny. And the kid, the Molly Shannon kid.
Problematic, but
Problematic, but
interesting.
hilarious.
Also, the radio host
The
kid.
radio host kid who's voiced by Sam Levine but isn't Sam Levine.
Oh, I was trying to figure out where that whose voice that
It's
was
Sam
because
Levine.
he's a pretty prominent character in the first movie too, and the voice is the same. And I was like, "What's happening? Why?"
Yeah, I mean,
Because the
Sam
actor
Levine
is
was
different.
19 years old when this movie came
Yeah.
out, but they just put his voice on a kid.
Yeah. And I love that. I mean, and that is definitely drawing from Meatballs, where what's his name? Bill Murray had like the camp announcements, kind of like Good
Yeah.
Morning Vietnam style.
Well, and so did Ben Stiller in Heavyweights.
Right. So, but I love his voice, like his radio show, like functions kind of as voiceover for the movie that like actually does kind of help move it along in a way that I thought was like really brilliant. Whereas I feel like when it's used in the other movies, it's like just jokes.
Yeah, when we find out in this movie that he's not even plugged in, he's just doing a radio show for himself.
Yeah.
There's a couple of really good monologues in this. Christopher Maloney's monologue at the end's pretty good. It gives us the line, "At a time when I was trying to hide myself from myself," which is a great line. Yeah, I think maybe, at least when I was younger, his character was one that got quoted the most because he's just like saying
The thing about the dick
nonsense, the
cream,
dick
yeah.
cream, and fondling his sweaters and humping the fridge
Smearing mud on
and
his
smearing mud
ass.
on his ass. Yeah. And then, like, that's the most surreal plot line because him and 80 Miles, is that 80 Miles? Both are speaking with a can of vegetables voiced by H. John Benjamin.
Which you get the whole backstory of in the
Oh,
prequel.
I don't remember that.
H. John Benjamin is a human being first, and he was originally the camp director, and then something ha I forget. Like there's this whole like other plot about like toxic waste and the government, and like Ronald Reagan shows up at one point. But anyway, yeah, somehow he's transformed. Like they think he's dead, but actually he's transformed into this talking can of mixed vegetables. And then yeah, and like he and Janine Garofalo, I think, were like together, and then she gets promoted to, and that's how she wound up camp director. It's because they thought he was dead, but really he's a can of vegetables, but a can of vegetables can't run a camp, so.
The thing that I think maybe I love the most about this is like the physical comedy and also just like the
Oh, it's so
silliness of the
good.
physicality of almost every person in this.
Yeah.
There's a lot
It's
of
truly
like, yeah, there's a
magnificent.
lot of like throwing dishes for no reason. They use that
Oh my
like
God,
pottery
the
breaking
pottery.
sound over and over
Three
again.
times in a row.
Janine Garofalo with the garden tool in the beginning, and like the part where Coop is trying to run away, but he steps on a bucket and then slips on a banana peel and then falls in a pool.
I laughed so hard.
The haystack with Ken Marino and Joe Latrullio. The part where Joe Latrullio and Janine Garofalo are trying to get to the phone and they're like in a panic and they're just throwing everything and knocking everything over for no reason.
I really wanted Paul Rudd when he was Paul Redding. It looked like he had a sausage on his plate when he threw it, and he didn't quite pick up the sausage. And I really wanted him to step on it and slip like a banana peel, but that did not
No,
happen.
he's
But
too cool to fall down.
no, but I want to see him fall down still. I want to see hot people fall down too, not just doofy looking people. They're not all doofy looking.
Everyone like brings it in the talent show finale too, where the weird guy comes out and does a weird thing.
The conversation that Janine Garofalo has with him to convince him to be in the talent show reminded me of what you said that you and your camp director talked about on the last day.
Which one? What?
Well, because she was like, I would have loved it if you had gotten to know the campers a little better.
Oh yeah.
She was like, why don't you take part
There's
in
another
the
part
talent show so they can get to know you
that
better?
there's another part that kind of reminded me of that too, where they're in the boat. Joe Latrullio calls a kid a name, and the kid's like, "That's not my name." And And I was like, yeah, no, that's real.
Amy Poehler, first of all, her eyebrows. Did you happen to notice them?
No, but I would assume they're very 2001.
They are she, like, extremely
regular has barely any eyebrows anyway.
Yeah. But for the talents, so she is the archetypal musical theater producer who's like a little bit too uptight and is like, this has to be perfect, even though it's, you know, a talent show that was organized in one day.
Yeah.
And so she's producing this Godspell number with Bradley Cooper, and she gets up before they go on and she says, before we start, I'd just like to say that the campers you're about to see suck dick, but nevertheless, please welcome them. She says it like so sarcastically.
The amount that they wonderful. Curse at the campers and that the campers curse at each other is also mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah.
I never saw there's like an after credit scene where they meet in 1991 for like 10 yeah. seconds. I never saw that before.
Yeah, because they have that whole conversation about like, we should meet up 10 years from now and see the people that we've become. And like, somebody says like something about what time to be there, and they say 9 or 9:30. Well, let's say 9:30 so that people can be here at 9. And somebody is like, we're gonna be in our late 20s by then. We can like grow up and be on time.
He was like, I just don't see why we can't be on time.
Yes.
I feel like and then he goes on to be like, cool, because I have to be somewhere at 11. It was Michael Ian Black's character. Mm-hmm. I feel like and maybe that was them referencing that they're all actually in their late 20s.
Yeah, of course.
I never really picked that up before.
Yeah. And on Netflix, I think the like sequel that they made, it's like only a movie, right? On Netflix,
yeah, I think
the other
so.
Thing. And that picks up there in the 10-year reunion. Which I did not get a chance to rewatch, but I will probably watch after we're done recording.
There's a kid named Moose in this. I legit taught a kid named Moose. Who wouldn't tell me his real name?
I feel like there's got to be a Moose at every summer
That's
camp,
probably
right?
True.
Was he very tall and very large?
No.
Oh, interesting. Did he explain why he was called Moose?
No. I forgot. I think I asked him once. I don't remember.
I have an oven mitt that is a moose that I bought in Maine. It's like if it was a sock puppet, its mouth opens, you know, and that's yeah. how you grab things. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cute.
There's a shout out to Milburn, New Jersey.
There's so many New Jersey
it's
things.
True.
I was looking at people's t-shirts. Like I said, Michael Ian Black was wearing a Clifton, New Jersey t-shirt. 80 Miles had on a Lake Hepatcong
t-shirt. That's where my camp was.
Really?
My day Lake camp Hepatcong. Was in Lake Hepatcong. Yeah.
Interesting. Somebody was wearing a Stony Brook shirt, which is Long Island. Amy Poehler is wearing a Nag's Head sweatshirt, which I think is Cape Cod. But I like there was just so many, yeah, New Jersey stuff. Because he says he's from Milburn, New Jersey. State bird, the mosquito, which made me laugh really hard, which is not true. In fact, New Jersey's state bird is the goldfinch. I wrote a report on it in like fourth grade.
I wonder if it has a state bug.
Let's find out. Does New Jersey have a state bug? Oh, it's the honeybee.
Aw, okay.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I like that.
If you look really closely...
There's a,
what?
There's a Wilhelm scream in this.
Where?
At someplace very funny that I did not notice, but I came across it on the IMDb trivia. While Beth and Henry, which is Jeanine Garofalo and David Hyde Pierce, when they kiss, you hear a Wilhelm scream.
is it when
a great use of that?
There's a hilarious part where I think they're kissing, and it's during the capture the flag game, and somebody runs hard behind them and falls face first to the ground.
Oh,
it might be
that
Ben.
Would make sense. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of just hearing a scream when people kiss, though.
No, I think that must be where it was.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I didn't super pay attention to this, and I meant to, but they shot this for like a month, and it rained every single day and was cold.
Mm-hmm. 23 out of 28 days.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, I think, like, not good continuity with the weather when they're, like, inside. If you look out the windows, and then they go outside, and it's sunny, even though it was just raining, like...
Yeah. Movie magic. Like, when they shot Clueless, it was an unseasonably, or just, like, an unusually wet winter in Los Angeles, and it was raining pretty much the whole time, but you would never know that when you watch the movie because it's lit so well.
Roger Ebert's review of, did you read Roger Ebert's review of his movie?
No.
It was, no, he wrote a parody of, you know, the song that's like, hello mother, hello father. Mm-hmm. He wrote a parody of that song, and that is his review of this movie. Like, about this movie.
Can you sing it to me?
No, I can't, but it's very good. You should read it.
Okay, I'll check that out later.
He hated it. He gave it
I'm sure he
one
did.
Out of four stars. He trashed it, but did write a very fun review.
The talent show that they do at the end, they hired a borscht belt comedian from the Catskills, a very old man, to come do to MC it and do like stand-up comedy, and that very old man is played by Michael Showalter.
It's an incredible character, and you can't even really tell that it's him unless you know that it's him, or you're like really looking.
Yeah, but he said, because he's like talking about like how long it's been since he went to camp, and that he went to camp in the Stone Ages and blah, 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 blah. And he said, there were two epidemics when I went to camp, head lice and the plague, the bubonic plague. That made me laugh real hard. How did that whole head lice situation shake out?
And I guess I don't have lice anymore.
That's good.
I hope. I don't know. I can't see my own head.
Oh, no. There's also the whole plot about the piece of the space station falling from the sky.
Oh, yeah, the world almost ends, and then it doesn't. The nerd kids save everybody.
I forget about that, too. They build this thing. I don't know what they're doing. It involves some antennae and some 12-sided die, or maybe they're 20-sided die. I don't know how many sides they have. A lot of sides. But one of the antenna on the contraption that they built is just made out of donuts and cans of Spam. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I noticed that and made me
That's
laugh
like
really
exactly
hard.
Where I check out of the movie every single time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not important. Like, nothing, it doesn't matter, you know? It's like all of everyone's journey is basically done, I guess.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. It's just too long to, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote in the middle that I should have done a kid body count because when I started counting and went back to remembering, it was like, okay, Paul Rudd drowned two kids and threw two witnesses out of a van. Mm-hmm. And then three kids were stuck in the ropes course for a day. So they're probably...
I meant to tell you yesterday, but I didn't. How did you get on that? Yeah, so good. I love that he gets a trophy at the end for the science that he did. He, like, shows up. Oh, what's his name? Oh, God. David Hyde Pierce. He shows up at the end and is like, you're never going to believe this. They finally appreciated all the science I did. Yeah. And he's holding, like, a sports trophy. Which is hilarious because you don't get trophies in science.
And then in that same scene, he's like holding it in his hand and he just hands it to someone and they walk away with it. Mm-hmm. And then him and Jeanine Garofalo kiss. I feel like that the end makes fun of the thing that bothers me so much in these movies, which is like how everyone is like best friends after a 2-hour movie where we don't see them interact hardly at all.
Mm-hmm. What what about this?
Well, do you especially like their relationship, like how far it escalated in one day?
Because she's gonna be like moving to Florida with him.
They're having a baby.
To work at like Cape Canaveral or whatever. Oh yeah, I forgot she's pregnant. Oh yeah, yay!
I really like. I'm reading about what, like the reviews, and so Kristen Bell says it's her favorite movie, which is amazing. And I really like how Jesse Thorne described it. It says, when someone has an open enough heart to accept this silliness, and that's what it's about for me, an open heart. If someone's heart is open to What Hot American Summer, they love it. And that's when I know that me and them, we've got an unbreakable bond together forever, like camp counselors.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of describing it.
I think that's true of this, is you do have to be really open to this kind of silliness. Yeah. But once you are, you're just
not,
like,
it's
cool.
Not good. Yeah, you're going to have a bad time if you're not. In 2011, Paul Rudd told Entertainment Weekly that he was literally not sure if he ever got paid for this movie. He thinks that because the budget and the production staff were so incredibly small, they may have just overlooked making out a check for his salary. It's nice to be in a situation where you might not notice that. While a guest on Live with Regis and Kelly in 2010, Bradley Cooper was asked which of the many actresses with whom he has co-starred was his favorite on-screen kisser. Instead of an actress, he chose Michael Ian Black, with whom he shared a love scene in this movie, which I think is wonderful and, like, incredibly brave, especially in 2010, for, like, a, like, male romantic lead movie star to, like, say that he in any way enjoyed kissing another man on screen. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for him. Oh, I love that during their sex scene, they wind up kicking a soccer ball around. Like,
I don't remember that.
They're, like, in a shed or something, and there's, like, sporting equipment everywhere, and a soccer ball, like, winds up underneath their feet, and they, like, kick it away, which reminded me of... I guess maybe Friday the 13th, which was the movie that I said had such a vigorous cunnilingus scene that it sounded like they were playing basketball. One of the movies that we watched had that, and I appreciated the soccer ball. It made me laugh real hard.
All right, is it time for tropes?
Before we get to that, do you want to hear all of the other things this movie might have been called?
Sure.
Okay, so this is according to David Wayne and Michael Showalter. Rejected titles for this movie include American Love Bunk, American Name Tags and Underwear, American Wedgie, Ankle Bites, The Movie, Associate Professor Newman Goes to Camp, Big American Love Wedgie, Blue Balls, Boner Camp, Boners and Clits, Boys Side, Girls Side, Bring a Change of Underwear, Buddy Check, Bug Juice 81, Bunk Bed America, Bunk You, Butt Camp, I like that one, Cabin Pressure, Camp Fire, Camp Home Sucks, Camp Masturbate Each Other, Counselors and Cancers, Damp Vagina Camp, Doo-Doo, as in D-E-W, Fresh Grass, General Swim, Go Into Third, Hot American Wedgie, Hot Kids in Shorts, Hot Wedgie Days, Internment Camp, not very funny, The Main Squeeze, M-A-I-N-E, of course, Morning Wood, Postcards from the Cot, Sex Flies and Videotape of a Kid Masturbating. Oh, because there's that kid who broke into the office.
Yeah, the kid who gets sent home.
Himself masturbating. Slow Dance Boner. I like that one too. S'more Don't Stop. Suck My Big Hard Camp. Taco Meat Drips on Nipples 2. Teenage Sex Fiends. Tits and Taco Day. Waterfront Blues, Welcome Back Cot, Wet Hot Beds, And Marguerite Moreau claims that Paul Rudd was using Bring a Change of Underwear as the title for an autobiography.
There's no way all of those are real, and they're all awful.
I'm sure they were just like ideas that they were like, bouncing around, not seriously considered, but I just thought that was quite a list.
Yes. And they all make sense. They're just all
Yeah.
terrible names for a movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Tropes. Here we go. Smoking. Yes. Anger. Yes. Used hilariously several times. Homophobia. You think there's gonna be, and then there's not, but I think that counts. They
There
call them
is a brief
fags.
moment of it. Three times I use that word,
Yeah,
but
that's
other than
true.
that, what like and when you put it in like the context of all the other mo camp movies, like yeah, it's like almost nothing, but
I
it's
think that
still
was
there.
them being true to like 1980s lingo.
Right. And true to 2001. I
That's
mean,
true.
like
Yeah.
even for 2001, there is remarkably little homophobia in this. The fact that they like then show this like beautiful sex scene between the two of them and then have this beautiful
I think
wedding
beautiful
and
sex scene is really taking it too far.
okay, I thought it was,
It's
lovely.
very silly.
It's silly. I'd lovely. I think that silly things are lovely. Anyway.
Canoe
Canoe
tip. I
tip
don't think
question
so.
mark?
I don't think there's one.
So technically there are no canoes in this movie. However, they do go
They go on a
rafting, which is
rafting trip.
why
Yeah. All right.
I marked canoe trip.
Hiking, yes. Camp out. Do they camp out?
They are supposed to have a camp out on that rafting trip,
Oh, but
I
kind of other
think,
stuff happens. They don't
right.
technically have a camp out.
But I
They
marked
do
it because
steal
it's
a
supposed to
motorcycle
happen.
from someone else's camp out.
Oh yeah, see? Camps.
Bonfire, yes. Who has a New York accent? I mean, I know there are, some of them are
I
from, but like that's not really strong in this.
No, but I think the presence of like the New York metro area t-shirts
That's not an
like is enough.
accent.
No, it's
But
not an accent, but
remember
like I
Sleepaway Camp, where everyone has a horrible New York accent?
Yeah, I think of this not like so much specific to accent as like an accent of the voice, but
That's not
like
what this
the
is, though.
Okay,
I'm
whatever.
getting rid of
I'm
it.
too tired to
I'm
care.
getting rid of
Fine.
it. Parent visit? No, not
But
really.
they're like coming to pick kids up at the
Yeah, it's
end,
not a
right?
parent visit, though. That's not like
Okay.
visiting
No, I know.
day.
That's why I put a
I
question
know.
mark.
Play musical, yes. Guitar, so many guitars. Inappropriate adult camper relationship, yes. Two
Ooh,
that I can
in
think
the
of.
prequel, Chris Pine does guitar on top of roof.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Age appropriate fucking, yes. Substance use, yes. Surprise luggage. Well, we don't really see them arriving at camp.
No, but there's that scene where Janine Garofalo is standing in the cafeteria just like making up Jewish kids' names and saying that like they all
That's the
have a trunk
best.
that they need to get. Yeah.
But we don't see the trunks.
No, but she's talking about luggage,
This
which is why
isn't. Nope.
I marked
I'm
it.
unmarking
Okay. I marked it to make sure that we at least touched
it.
on the whatever.
Food fight?
Question
I don't
mark? I
think
couldn't
there's
remember.
not a food fight, but there's a lot of throwing food angrily. But it's not a fight, really. It's very
Right. Yeah.
one-sided and short-lived. Mean girl energy. I don't know who's mean in this.
Amy Poehler's pretty
And
intense.
so is Abby, actually.
Yeah. Oh, in the prequel, she has a great backstory. She's actually like one of the junior counselors, I think. She's either a junior counselor or actually a camper. And at the beginning of it, she is a child, like an actual child actress that they cast. And then she gets her first period, and then she comes out of the stall, and it's that actress.
That's funny.
And then she's like obsessed with sex and like making out and having sex with people.
Babies who think they're grown-ups, yeah. Camp hair, obviously. Someone gets thrown in the water, no,
I
but
couldn't
several
remember.
kids do drown. I
Oh,
don't know. I don't know if that counts.
yeah, let's leave it a question
All
mark.
right. Someone gets murdered again. Several kids drown. Could be argued that Paul Rudd is a murderer.
Yeah, I think so.
Where are the adults? Now we know where they are. Where are the kids? Now the kids are here. This is the first one, oh, besides Heavyweights, where you know where both the groups of people are. Fat phobia? Nah, not really.
Yeah, I didn't notice any.
Rich kids? Nah.
Which isn't to say that there wasn't any, but I didn't notice any.
Barn sex.
There are some rich kids in the prequel. There's a whole rival rich kid camp on the other side of the lake.
Of course.
And Marguerite Moreau is actually dating one of those douchebags at
Oh, I
first.
remember that. Barn
The guy
sex.
from The Good Wife.
There's
Yeah,
no.
do they have sex in
So
that
they have
movie?
sex in a shed. The gay
Okay.
sex is in a shed, and the romantic scene, the first romantic scene between Michael Showalter and Katie is in a
They just
barn, but they
kiss.
just kiss. So I don't know, I guess that one
Okay.
is a question mark. Original song with title, yes. Baseball montage, no, but almost. Archery, no. Yeah, it hit a lot of them, although not some of the more popular ones.
Yeah, I'm surprised. And I also think this was another case where I was watching it and thinking, like, oh yeah, there's that, and thinking that it was on the list and then it not being on the list, but I couldn't tell you what those things were. I would love to see their version of the spreadsheet because they must have had one,
Yeah.
whether it be like a big whiteboard or like whatever. Like they must have had some sort of idea of all of the things that have been done in these movies, and like either very consciously paying homage to them or taking them and kind of turning them on their head or, doing something else with it. And what a wonderful result.
All right. Anything else for What Hot American Summer?
I copied some more trivia notes down. Let's see if any of them are actually interesting. Oh, that Entertainment Weekly interview in 2015, David Wayne said that the ordeal that Ken Marino has to go through when he is trying to get back from the rafting trip to go make out with Abby was based on an actual experience he had while he was a camp counselor. He said, quote, "I had just turned 16. I was assigned to drive a group of campers overnight to an overnight camping trip and leave the next morning with another counselor and head back to camp. But I had just met this girl at camp and I was so excited to see her that I decided, no, I'm going to leave late at night and race back to camp, even though I barely knew how to drive. So I cranked up the tunes, pedal to the metal, and I was driving through pitch black, winding, unpaved roads as fast as I could in hopes of making out with this girl and about 2 miles away from the campsite, but still in the middle of the state park, I smashed hard into a tree. I lodged the fender deep in the tire, rendering the van utterly undrivable, and was stuck in the middle of the woods. I had no idea how to get back, couldn't see my hand in front of me, but luckily I did end up wandering back to find the campsite with the kids and the counselors, and they were like, what the hell is wrong with you?
That's
After
incredible.
that, yeah, after that, they initiated a policy that junior counselors were not allowed to drive vehicles at camp. I eventually did get to make out with the girl. So that has a nice ending.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, this is from a lot of tidbits from Entertainment Weekly for some reason. From a July 1st, 2011 issue, Hank Azaria was actually a camp at Camp Towanda where they shot this from age 6 to 15. Janine Garofalo called him after she saw his name on a bunk plaque, and she then gave him a shout out during that scene where she's ad-libbing all of those names. She calls the name Jessica Azaria.
That's funny. There's I was reading the special thanks and the credits, and there's a lot of like there was a couple names that I was like, huh? Mary Louise Parker is one of them.
Oh, interesting.
I should have screen capped it. I didn't. Let's see if I can find it. There was a couple more that I was like, huh. Most of them are other people I've never heard of or ones that I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Stephen Colbert, Billy Crudup.
Oh, she and Billy Crudup are or were together, married, maybe?
Who?
Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, well, they're both in there. Liev Schreiber.
They
All the
in
other ones
the
make sense.
yeah in the credits they thank all of the extras for standing around during what was a very cold, wet Pennsylvanian spring, because they shot it in Pennsylvania in the springtime, and like we said, it was cold and wet, which is nice. It's nice when people like acknowledge that the circumstances that they put you in weren't great,
Which is almost
you know.
always when you're making something like this.
True. The owners of Camp Towanda, where they shot this, were told that this was going to be a family comedy, and they were mortified when they saw the final cut of the
Oh, that's
film.
mean.
Yeah. I forget when it happens. I guess it's towards the end of the movie. The nurse, or maybe when they go into town, the nurse like stops Janine Garofalo and she's like, "My husband is coming. I need you to get me some lube." And then she like leans in and just says, whispers very loudly, "For my
It's a
pussy."
very loud whisper. It's very funny.
Yeah. And it just, I love that they left that line in. I'm just like kind of surprised that they did, 'cause that's, you know, the kind of thing that would very easily get cut out. But I think that's all I got. Oh, also in the prequel, we see now I'm like unclear about the chronology of Molly Shannon's romantic history, because in the prequel she was actually about to marry Christopher Maloney's character before he had this before he like went nuts. He was like living his life as somebody else and like pretending to be fine. And then they don't get married for some reason that I don't remember. And oh, what's his name? I love him so much. Hang on. It will come to me.
Judah Freelander.
No,
Because
he's the
he's
one who
her,
shows up in
yeah.
this. Yeah, he's the one that she's talking to the children about. But in the
Well, there's
prequel,
someone else.
there is someone else, and it is Randall Park. He's on Fresh
Oh,
Off the Boat. He
yeah.
was in
He's in
that
everything now.
yeah, I love him. He's so funny. And he like works at the library, and she goes to the library to look something up, and they like fall in love and get married like immediately, over the course of a single day. So there's a lot of like interesting people who show up in the newer stuff, because they were, you know, I guess fans of the original movie, probably pretty excited to be a part of that. But that's all I got. Do you have
Cool.
anything else?
Nah, I don't think so. It's like everything else that we've done lately where I'm like, oh, I wish I could have watched this with someone who has like no context for it. Cool. Well, Kara, if people want to find you, where can they go?
I guess you can find me on Instagram at Bimps, BIMPSE. Otherwise, whatever.
I'm also on Instagram at JordoPC. You can find our show on Instagram at WistfulPod. And dang, what are we even gonna do after this? Our summer camp
I
is
don't know.
over.
I know. I have been so short-sighted. I
It's
have
all
not
right,
been thinking
we got
about
time.
the future. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see y'all back in September with who knows what.
Who knows?
Bye.
Bye.